Genesis 12 on Through the Word, and today begins the great adventure, the journey, the open road. Verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." There's something about a road trip. It's not just the destination, and it's not just the road. Something happens on that road. We grow, find ourselves, find each other. The Bible is full of journeys, but chapter 12 is a big one. This one changes everything. It starts with a simple invitation from the Lord to Abram. Go from your country to the land I will show you. Now don't miss it. This is Gandalf looking for someone to share in an adventure. This is the curious wardrobe that leads into a snowy wood. It's the start of a journey, only this one is real life with the real Lord. So who is this Abram? Well, we met him in chapter 11. We know his genealogy. We know he's married to Sarai and has no kids, and that he comes from Ur in Chaldea, which history tells us was pretty upscale for its day. As far as we can tell, his family worshipped pagan idols. And as for his past, that's about all we know. As for his future, that just got interesting. Back in verse 1, God's calling comes in two parts, go from and go to. First is leave. Leave your country. That's tough. Culture, roots, language, it's a lot to leave. Leave your kindred, even tougher. Friends, familiar faces. Leave your father's household. Now that's the hardest. Family. But it wasn't just go from, it was go to the land I will show you. Now if a friend told you to leave home and just go with no destination specified, would you go? You better not go unless you trust that friend. I mean really trust. And that is precisely what this story is about. Faith, trust, and God's faithfulness. What'd you think I was going to say? And that's the adventure. Abram doesn't know where he's going. He just trusts. Now, some of us have no use for adventure. Nasty, disturbing, uncomfortable things. Make you late for dinner. But to follow God is to go from and go to. And for Abram, it comes with a promise in verse 2. Pay attention. This is important. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. That promise from God is a covenant, a binding agreement between God and Abram, an agreement that forms a relationship. The entire Bible is built on covenants. And put yourself in Abram's shoes. God promises, I will make of you a great nation. Descendants. Abram doesn't even have one kid yet, and he will be a great nation. God promises, I will bless you and make your name great. Now that is interesting, and catch the contrast to the men of Babel, who tried to make a name for themselves. Name means reputation, honor. Notice that the desire for greatness is not in itself ungodly, and a good name is worth more than gold. But the selfish pursuit of fame is not only idolatry, it makes an idol of yourself. The men of Babel wanted to make a name for themselves, but Abram allows God to make his name great. But look again, that greatness wasn't for Abram's sake. Back in verse 2, I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Now, that's awesome. I'd say the one thing better than being blessed by God is being a blessing from God. That is a beautiful promise. And it gets bigger in verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Wow. Seriously, just wow. All the families on earth. And look at the language that God uses. Bless those who bless you. Curse those who curse you. That's the kind of thing that you say to your best friend. That's loyalty. I got your back. Your friend is my friend. This is the Lord talking. Now, how do you respond to that? Verse 4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. I like that. God said go, and Abram went. Trust and obey. Now, it may not look like much, but this one small sentence is one massive change in the direction of history. It will affect everything, for Abram, for generations that follow, for the world. You may never know this side of heaven the lasting impact of one small step of obedience to God. And obedience is key. Jesus told us that you can spot someone who loves him as the one who obeys his commands. And his command is love. So Abram heads out, 75 years old, with Sarai, his nephew Lot, and in verse 5, all their possessions. In other words, they don't leave a backup plan. For Abram, there is no there and back again. Is only there and never go back. And they arrive in Canaan, and that's the place. The land God would show him is Canaan. So he travels through it, all the way to the great oak in Shechem. And in verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." And the promise just got bigger. Great nation, great name. Blessing to the world, I got your back. And now, the land. This land of promise will prove to be one of the great themes in the Bible. But for now, Abram could just look around in awe. What can he say? What can he do? Verse 7, so he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. An altar, most likely a pile of large stones. Noah built the first, now Abram. The word altar literally means place of sacrifice. It was a place to honor God, to show Abram's commitment in stone, a place to say, "My life is yours, Lord," and to remember that commitment. And don't miss the contrast in verse 8. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Notice, for himself, a tent, temporary. For God, an altar built of stone. This is the walk of faith. It comes with a conviction that what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. So hold lightly to what is seen and tightly to what is unseen. But for us, how do we build altars today? Hebrews 13 tells us that we do have an altar, the cross of Jesus. And every time we take communion, we return to that altar. And Hebrews reminds us to give a sacrifice of praise, to do good, to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Now, the last half of chapter 12 is a curious story. I'll let you read it, but a couple things to watch for. First off, Abram is not doing right here. He lies, puts his wife at risk to save his own hide. He's basically Abram the cowardly liar. But here's the thing. God doesn't give up on him. He didn't choose Abram because he was perfect. He just chose him, and he honored Abram's faith, even when his faith faltered. God is faithful, even when we are not. And watch Sarai. She honors her husband, even when he's all wrong. And God honors her and protects her. Well, I'll leave the rest to you. Read Genesis 12 and watch for faith, faith that changed history. Today, more than 4 billion people trace their faith back to a man named Abram and his call from God. Jews, Muslims, and Christians. It's pretty amazing. Hebrews 11 sums it up. By faith, Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the Promised Land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.